today on Bread for the Broken with James Grizzle, pastor of Calvary Chapel, Galveston.
There's some of these open-handed issues that other churches do this or they do that. It doesn't make them bad people. It doesn't make them bad people. They're not the enemy. And we'll see at the end of Ephesians, there is an enemy, but it's not other Christians. Now, some may be sideways and need to be corrected, theological type stuff and all that. I get it. But I think even more so now than ever before, we really need to be like, look, are we on the same team? Because if we're on the same team, we need to stay focused.
The enemy doesn't know what to do when people are trusting God so much that he can't get into their hearts. So you know what he does? He tries to create division. That's why you and I have to always choose to think the best of others and choose unity. Today, Pastor James says there's always going to be churches that do things a little bit differently from you. The point isn't to make sure that everybody's the same, but to make sure that people are getting pointed back to Jesus. Never forget the main goal, to make disciples. Now here's Pastor James in the book of Ephesians chapter 1 with today's edition of Bread for the Broken.
We need bread for the broken. Give some bread to the broken. We need hope for the hopeless. Give some hope to the hopeless, hopeless. Bread for the broken, broken.
Ephesians chapter 1. This is why we're here. We're here for the word, right? Like, we got stuff going on. That's cool. We want to stay active, so to speak. There's things that are happening within the church. We're always looking for, you know, just seeing how the Lord wants to use us beyond Sunday mornings, Wednesday nights, and all that stuff. But I hope we're here because of Jesus and because of the word. Like, that's it. That's the deal. You're never going to walk out of here and being like, man, those announcements were pretty sweet, right? Those are awesome. Like, nobody says that. If you do, that's strange, okay? We want the word, and man, in this portion of scripture we're going to go through today, we just want the Lord to plant this in our hearts, because you need this today. I need this. I needed this whole week. This is a good word for all of us for today. All right, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. We're going to close out the rest of this chapter. Context-wise, we just went through verses 3 through 14. It took us a while to get through there, but that's like one long sentence. It's not a run-on sentence, so to speak, but it is one gigantic sentence. Technically, this next portion of scripture, 15 through 23, is another single sentence, right? In the Greek, it is just one sentence. So Paul is expressing, as we saw 3 through 14, he's just talking about how great the Lord is and all the things that we have, these spiritual blessings, and how he just really is like, if you're a Christian, you are so hooked up in more ways than what you realize. We walk around like beggars and just poor in that sense, and yet spiritually speaking, you have more than what you could ever imagine. Available to you. That's the key. It's there. It's available. It's been made available to you by God through the work of Jesus Christ. You just got to realize it and kind of tap into that, so to speak. He loves you more than what you realize, more than what you'll ever know or understand. And so as Paul was going through this spiritual blessings part, he's going to break off into like, this is how I pray for you, which just puts all my prayers to shame. Okay? And so this 15 through 23 is really a prayer that Paul has for these people. And here's what I want to challenge you guys with today. I want to challenge you to upping your prayer game for other people. Okay? Going deep theologically in your prayer life. I get it. I do this all the time. Lord, I pray for so-and-so. I pray you bless so-and-so. That's kind of surface level. There's no depth to that. It's a good prayer. You know, don't write me any emails. It's a great prayer. But why not go deeper? Why not go a little bit deeper? How are you praying for God to bless them? Because maybe God's up there thinking like, yeah, well, I do bless them, but you want to give me some specifics? What are you thinking? What are you thinking about them and their relationship with me or their relationship with so-and-so and they need prayer for that? We want to go a little bit deeper. Let's venture out into the deeper waters concerning our prayer lives. That's my challenge for today, okay? And I say that because that's what Paul does. Look here, verse 15. I'm going to read out New Living Translation. It says this, "Ever since I first heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for Christians or for saints everywhere. So here's Paul. He goes through these like promises and these spiritual blessings that we have. You've been chosen by God. You've been predestined by him, handpicked by God. He's given you his son. His son died on the cross for your sins and rose from the grave. He gave you his Holy Spirit, who is the seal upon your life, and nobody can take that away from you. Blessing upon blessing upon blessing. God has freely given it to you. And so Paul naturally goes into this next little transition. He's like, ever since I first heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for Christians everywhere, your love for the saints everywhere. Now, see, we can even stop right there, because in the church world, it's hard for us to get past that first sentence. Because in the church world, we may not, can the same thing be said about us? If the Apostle Paul was writing a letter to the church of Galveston, would his report to you and I as individuals be this? Man, when I first heard about your strong faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for what? For all Christians. Not just the ones who go to your church, but for all Christians. That's a challenge, isn't it? If you're honest, you'd shake your head and be like, yeah, that's true. Because there are some Christians. Hey, I get it. There are some Christians where you're like, woo, that's stretching, Lord. You're causing me to step out there a little bit. But this is Paul. He's like, to the church of Ephesus, he's like, man, your love for all Christians just astounds me. Your faith in Jesus, it encourages me. Your love for the saints everywhere, it astounds me. It encourages me. Let that be what is said about us, about you as a Christian. Do you agree philosophically with all Christians in other places? No, probably not. Now, hopefully we're holding fast to the same core truths, who Jesus is, who God is, who the Holy Spirit is. Is the Bible actually the word of God? Is there truly only one way into heaven? And yes, there is only one way, and his name is Jesus, and he said it himself. No, we hold fast to these core truths, but there's some of these open-handed issues that other churches do this or they do that. It doesn't make them bad people. It doesn't make them bad people. They're not the enemy. And we'll see at the end of Ephesians, there is an enemy, but it's not other Christians. Now, some may be sideways and need to be corrected, theological type stuff and all that. I get it. I get it. But I think even more so now than ever before, we really need to be like, look, are we on the same team? Because if we're on the same team, we need to stay focused, because Jesus is coming back soon. So no more of this division and the fighting and the nonsense. It's like, no, there are core tenets that we hold fast to. Do these guys check off those same boxes? If they do, okay, cool. You're on the same team. You're in the same family. Do they run around the room waving flags and banners and stuff? Well, maybe that's how they do things. That's not my deal. But that doesn't make them the enemy. It makes them charismatic, right? Outgoing, right? We got to really kind of lay aside some of these things that are differences. And not that every church, now please hear me, I'm not saying that all churches should just abandon their places and all get together and just be one giant church. That's the weird concept, okay? And here's why that's weird. Because people are drawn to different worship styles and different pastors and church leadership teams and dynamics and stuff. That's just how we are. That's how we are. You might be here sitting under my teaching because by some miracle you get something, right? Like, because somehow you get something and the Lord uses me to speak to you. And that's cool. But you could go to another church and sit under a teaching. And you're like, it's not clicking. That's not a bad thing. That's not a bad thing, because maybe God is using different personalities and things like that to get you into a place where you can get fed and you can grow in your walk and relationship with Jesus. Other churches meeting in other places is a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. Paul uses the body description. We'll see that in a second, but your full body is made up of different parts and members and all that stuff. And these things work together with this region of your body so that the whole thing can work like it should. That's kind of the same dynamic with churches in other places. So I say, you know, have more churches. Just make sure that they're ones that open up the Bible and actually teach what the Bible says. More healthy churches, right? But Paul's like, your walk with Jesus, your faith in Jesus is encouraging. Your love for Christians or the saints. If you're a Christian, you're a saint. That's just how that works, okay? So if you've been trying to perform a miracle so you can get your sainthood, relax. Your saintliness is not dependent upon anything that you will ever do other than surrendering your life to Jesus. And that sounds weird, and praise God we don't call each other saint so-and-so, okay? That's going to your head. The better term there would be servant. Servant. If you're going to give anybody a title, and if you're going to embrace or want any title, just take the one of servant. Take the one of servant, okay? He goes on to say, verse 16, I've never stopped thanking God for you. Oh, man. Okay. Let me clarify. It's not that Paul walks around every single day and every single moment of every single day he's praying for the church of Ephesus. He doesn't do that, okay? Let's remember, Paul is not a super saint because there's no such thing. He's just a guy who's saved by the grace of God, his faith in Jesus, okay? So when he is praying, he remembers the people of Ephesus, and so he prays for them. That should be like a relief, because you might have like your whole checklist and things, and like, I have to pray through this, and that's if that's how you do it, then perfectly fine. If you're a slave to your prayer list, so to speak, you need to relax a little bit. And I would encourage you to do this. Mix it up a little bit. Have your prayer list. I have prayer lists. I have them usually written in my Bible, okay? But what I find is I like more of a, to use an overused term, a little bit more organic prayer life, okay? If you get what I'm saying. Just a little more natural. Where I'm driving around, maybe the Lord put somebody on my mind and I just pray for them, right? I think sometimes he does that. You maybe think of somebody at weird or random times because maybe the Lord is wanting you to pray for them specifically. That's just kind of how I do it. I have a prayer list. I have things that I pray about and all that good stuff. But as I'm just like cruising around or I'm at work or whatever, and the Lord brings somebody to my mind as remembering, then I just stop and just kind of pray for them. I just pray for them. Sometimes I'll even reach out to them. Like, hey, how's it going? Lord, just put you on my mind. I'm praying for you. Hope everything's okay. You know, just simple things like that. That's basically what Paul's doing. He's like, as I'm cruising around, as I'm walking around, officially, technically sitting in a jail cell, in a dungeon, and he's like, look, as I'm doing praying, the Lord reminds me of you guys, and as I'm reminded of you guys, I just think of, man, your faith in him, your love for each other, and so I'm just praying for you guys. And what Paul does is he prays for people constantly. So let's do that. Just be praying for each other. I think the Lord brings people together in church and congregations for reasons other than just, I don't really believe a lot in coincidence. I believe that sometimes you show up on a Sunday because you're meant to be here on a specific Sunday. And I don't know why. I don't know your business or anything like that. But sometimes that might even be your interaction with somebody else. You maybe are able to minister to them, or maybe they minister to you. And you hopefully develop this connection where throughout the week, you're checking in with each other and you're praying for each other. You're doing what the Apostle Paul did. This is basically what he did. He met people and he was like, I'm going to pray for you. And as he's sitting in a dungeon, the Lord brings these guys to his remembrance and he just simply prays for them. But it's not a simple prayer, not by any stretch of the imagination. He goes on, I mean, he says, I never stop thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly. Verse 17, here is where he gets into how he prays for these guys. Asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. That's a meaty prayer. Have you been praying that for other people? Probably not. I mean, probably not. Okay. Maybe you are. Okay. Maybe you have been. But when I'm praying for people, I'm not praying these types of things. Now, this week I have been because I've been challenged by this. And I have taught through Ephesians before, and I've read through Ephesians many times before. And I always get to this point and I'm like, man, I need to be praying like this for other people. So this is just a good model prayer. This is another model type prayer for you and I to be challenged by and to incorporate within our daily walk with Jesus. So this is my challenge for us. When you pray for somebody, and I want you to think about somebody maybe specifically, and you can even write their name down in your Bible, right over this portion of scripture. Maybe somebody that's been on your heart recently, or somebody that you've just been like kind of gunning for, so to speak, like they're on your radar. Somebody very near and dear to your life. Well, what I would ask you to do, if it's your Bible, hopefully you're okay with it, write their name in your Bible. If it's one of our Bibles, if you borrowed one of our Bibles, write their name in that Bible, and now that is your Bible, okay? You take it with you. But pray this prayer for so-and-so. Who is that, or who are they, that asking God on behalf of them that they would be given spiritual wisdom, not just common wisdom and not just practical wisdom, which I think our world needs more of today, but maybe even just a little bit of common sense would be good. But let's go for the spiritual wisdom for sure, that they would have spiritual wisdom and understanding so that what? So that they would grow in their knowledge of God. Because you grow in your knowledge of God, that means that you're growing closer to Him in your relationship and in your walk. The Lord said it Himself, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. That's not just like walk a little bit closer to me and I'll take a few steps to you. This is a growing dynamic. You want your relationship, you want to grow in that in your understanding of who He is. Because the better you understand who He is, the closer to Him you get. This is prayer request. This is number one for Paul. This is how he's praying for people. This is how he's praying for this church. And it's a great prayer. You and I need to be praying, I'm going to call them deep theological prayers for each other. I pray that there are blessings in your life. I pray that the Lord blesses you and takes care of whatever needs you have. I do pray that, always. I pray that for you guys, absolutely. You have health needs, praying for that, for sure. But I would be amiss if I'm not praying for you guys specifically that you yourselves would grow in wisdom, in spiritual wisdom, an understanding of who God is. And if you're a leader, maybe you're like a Bible study leader, this is your responsibility for whoever it is that you're mentoring or discipling. It is your responsibility to pray prayers like this for whoever shows up to your Bible study. You got to pray these prayers. Why? Because this is the ultimate goal. This is what you want, for people to grow in their knowledge and understanding of what? Of who He is. Of who He is. So that's Paul. That's like number one. He's like, first, this is how I'm praying for you. I'm asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding so that, here's the reason, so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. He goes on to say, verse 18, I pray that your hearts would be flooded with light, or that your hearts would be enlightened. Okay, I like the New Living Translation sometimes because it's very poetic. I understand the enlightenment. Maybe you do too. If you came out of the 60s and the 70s, it maybe meant something different, right? Enlightening kind of a deal. We're not talking about that. We're talking about your heart, which is technically your personality. Okay, because he's not talking about the organ that keeps you alive. He's talking about basically the core of who you are, your personality. That you'd be flooded, your hearts. You at your core would be flooded with light so that you can understand the wonderful future He has promised to those He called. So you remember back in the verses 3 through 14, He has called you. Before anything ever was, He picked you. He's chosen you. He's predestined you. And He has called you into this relationship with Him. And so if you've answered that call, Paul's prayer for you is this, that you would understand what that means. So that you're not walking blindly through this life. No Christian should be walking blindly through this life at all. You have every reason to gain understanding and insight within this world. So that's his prayer. It's totally fine. I love it. We just want to gain this understanding. Is that what you want? That's what you want, right? In your relationship with Jesus? I hope that's one of your goals. It's like my prayer, a little insight into my personal prayer life. Not too much, but a little bit. Common prayer for me is like, man, Lord, I just want to know you. I just want to know you a little bit more each and every day. I just want to grow in my understanding of who you are. Because what I know about Jesus is just scratching the surface kind of a deal, right? So I want to grow in that. And I want, as Paul is praying this for other people, what I would encourage you guys to do as well is this. Don't make this so much about how you can pray this for other people. Yes, do that. But don't miss out on the fact that this prayer has been recorded because I believe it also applies to you. So I would say receive that prayer as well. So as Paul is praying this for the church of Ephesus, the reason why the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to write this stuff down, I think, was so that 2,000 some odd years later, you're sitting in a church in Galveston, Texas, and you would know that, man, this prayer, yes, it was first for them, but this applies directly to me as well. So pray this for other people, but also receive this prayer because the Lord had it recorded for you so that you would receive it. So your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the wonderful future he has promised to those who he has called. Now, that's not a mistake. It is a wonderful future for those whom he has called. And you're like, well, my present doesn't feel all that wonderful. And my past has been anything but wonderful. And so I'm kind of a little bit hesitant concerning the future because if it's anything like the past and the present, it's just, no, no, no. As a believer, you need to understand that he loves you and he cares about you. And there is a wonderful future for you. He knows the plans he has for us. You can read that from Jeremiah 29, 11. He talks about that concerning first and foremost the nation of Israel. But we believe that can apply to you as an individual today as well. He knows how to work out all things for the good, for those who are called according to his purpose, right? That's from Romans chapter 8. The problem sometimes with this is the trust issue that I have within my heart. I sometimes find it difficult to trust Jesus. Is that revealing too much? You're like, oh no, this guy's all messed up. Yeah, I am. Guess what I am? There are times in my life where I trust Jesus 150%. And even in days where that trust is waning, I still trust him completely. But you get it. There are moments where I'm like, Lord, what are you doing? How in the world are you going to fix this? How in the world is anything good going to come out of this? And sometimes it does pretty quickly. Then sometimes it's years down the road and you look back and you're like, man, I can't believe he did this. I was so hopeless and without hope concerning that situation. Now I look back and I'm like, Lord, how did you do that? He knows how to show up and he knows how to work things out. It's in his timing according to his plan and all that good stuff. Just for me, I just have to learn to lay it all down and just trust him and just trust him. He's got a good plan for you. I don't know what his plan is for you. So if you showed up today hoping I would answer that for you, I'm sorry. You're going to walk away a little frustrated. But I can encourage you that he has a good plan for you. He does. We talk about this all the time. Does it mean that there will no longer be any storms on the horizon and your life will be just sweet and all this good? No, no, no. Because sometimes the best plan for you is a storm. Sometimes it is to make you a little bit stronger, to have you trust him a little bit more. So Paul prays their hearts to be flooded with light that they can understand the wonderful future he's promised to those who he's called. And this goes without saying, but if God has promised it, it will happen. Period. If he promised it, it will happen. You can bank on that. All right, pressing on through this. He says, I want you to realize what rich and glorious inheritance he has given to his people. The other way to translate that verse, which I think I appreciate a little bit more. Yes, you can apply this as like, you're somehow a great inheritance to God. I don't always understand that. But I think within the context, you as a believer are given an inheritance. He has an inheritance awaiting for you. And I believe Paul is touching on that within the context of chapter 1.
Thanks for joining us today on Bread for the Broken with Pastor James Grizzle. Pastor James has been teaching through the book of Ephesians, a New Testament letter written by the Apostle Paul. Its lessons on unity and holiness may have been written long ago, but these truths can be applied in your life today, too. We pray that you've been encouraged by the message you've heard on Bread for the Broken. If you'd like to hear more from Pastor James on this topic, you can visit our website today at breadforthebroken.com. Do you live in or near the Galveston area? And are you looking for a church home? We'd be honored to have you come join us at Calvary Galveston this Sunday at 10 a.m. We're a laid-back church, and we encourage you to simply come as you are. You can get directions to our church and find more information at breadforthebroken.com. If you're not able to come in person, that's okay. We're streaming our weekly services on Facebook Live. Just search for Calvary Galveston. Before our time with you is over for the day, we want to ask you a question. Would you partner with us here at Bread for the Broken? We'd be honored if you'd pray with us for everyone who will be listening to this program, that God would open their hearts and minds to His truth. Would you also pray about partnering with us financially? All donations are appreciated no matter what the size is. You can give securely online at breadforthebroken.com. This has been Bread for the Broken.
Let me paint the picture of you, man.